We're learning a Hasidic discourse by the fifth Rebbe, Rebbe Rashab, Shalom Doiber, that was his name, on the fact that there's only one God. And the Rebbe is explaining the structure behind it, because when the Torah talks about this idea of one God, the Torah says two names of God. Like the discourse starts, V'yodato ayem, you will know today, V'ashevois alevavecho, you will put in your hearts, Ki avaye hu elekim. These are two names of God. Four letters and Elohim, and we learned many, many ideas and details behind these two names of God: revelation, concealment, tzimtzum, concealment itself, how does it work, and the teacher, and so many things we shared. And the last idea that the Rebbe is going to explain now more is that the truth is that the purpose of the concealment is the revelation. It's not concealment for the fact of concealment itself. It's concealment in order to reveal, just like the teacher when he teaches, and the student, the teacher conceals certain details so the student can actually understand. So that means that the concealment itself is for the purpose of understanding. Otherwise, the student will be confused. Okay, so we're 15 lines from the bottom of the page. Let's go. The explanation is like this, of this thing of concealment, and the objective of concealment is actually revelation. The idea is like this. From this name of four letters, Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, that we call it Shem Avaye, which means nothing, it's just a name to call another name, that we don't know the name, actually, how to pronounce it. This whole thing, from this particular name, it would be impossible to create the whole creation and the worlds, etc. Why? Because it's an infinite name. It represents infinity. And through this name called Elohim, which we learned already, it means the Teva, the nature, etc. Through this name, it's projected and revealed the light of this particular infinite name in the worlds. What does that mean? In the worlds, to create them and to give them life. Because creation itself is from this name called Avaya, four letters. Even though in the Torah it says that in the beginning, a simple translation, in the beginning created Elohim. Why do you tell me that the creation is from Shem Avaye? The Torah says Elohim. So it doesn't make sense. Hainu, shenisavu al yedei Shem Elohim. That means that the creation is through this name. But not that it comes from this name. It is through this name. Aval guf be'ezem ha'isavu su'mishem Avaye davke. But the creation itself, literal translation, the body and the essence of the creation is from this name specifically. And this is something so simple. It's not like a mystical thing and complicated. No, not at all. Like, I can have so many ideas in my mind, but if I don't talk, forget it. You're never going to know them. So that's what it means. Speech is not the source of the ideas. It's not that my words suddenly have such a deep understanding of things and no, it's just words. Even to the point that they are called in Sefer Yetzirah, stones. Letters are like stones. A stone doesn't understand anything. It's just a stone. It doesn't even move. No growth, no move, no nothing. So the letters themselves don't have intelligence, don't have ideas. And no. It's my mind. Oh, but in order for you to know whatever is in my mind, I have to talk. The same thing is going on over here. Where does the creation come from, quote-unquote, the intellect come from? From the mind, from Shem Avaye. How does it get revealed? Oh, through words. Yeah, right. You have to talk. Shem Elohim. That's the name Elohim. Vezeu de Avayu Lashon Mehave. That's why this name of Hashem, with four letters, it actually comes from the word Mehave, which means creator. Havia, which means creation. Canal, as we mentioned before, the kol peula ubisgalus apoyel davke. Every activity is through the revelation of the person, so to speak. I'm sorry, the entity doing the activity itself. Hainu, that means Shemavaye, Shubechinas Gilui. This idea of the Shemavaye, which means revelation. Over here, the Rebbe said something simple. It sounds like, what? It's philosophical and weird, but it's so simple and powerful. Again, it's a philosophical concept. Any creation, any activity is through the revelation of that who makes the activity. Like if you have, I don't know, this guy is running 100 meters in the Olympics or whatever. So how do you really get and see the race itself? By the guys over there running. That's where they see them. If they're just standing over there, you don't know if they run fast or not. I can stand over there also. I don't run so fast, but I can stand over there. And you're not going to see anything. You just see people over there standing. And suddenly, boom, everybody runs. And woo, these guys really run. But you get revealed. They reveal their capacity of running. Okay, faster, not faster, whatever. One of them wins. But they all run fast. So you see this revelation through who is running over here. If I stand over there and start running, forget it, I'm the last one. I can't run. But why does it happen? Because you get a revelation of my capacity of running, which is nothing compared to these guys that run so fast. Okay, but it's me, it's my running. So every activity, it's a revelation of the one doing this activity. Rembrandt, he painted so nice. Wow, beautiful. I can paint also. Yeah, but I don't think anybody's going to like it. But I can also do it. It's not going to sell, not even for $10. But whatever, I can paint. I can take the colors and do whatever. So again, every activity is through the revelation of who is doing this. Oh, this Rembrandt is painting. Wow, that's nice. That's really nice. So over here, what's the creation? The creation has to be a revelation of Shem Havaye. Why? Because Shem Havaye is the only one that reveals. Shem Elokim conceals. The creation is through Shem. It's only coming from Shem Havaye. However, we have a quote-unquote problem over here. Shem Havaye is infinite. So there's no room for a finite creation. Something defined. So therefore, that creation which has to come from Shem Havaye, because this name means light, revelation. Yeah, it's true. It comes from there, but it has to be through Shem Elokim. That is going to conceal the infinity and give room for a finite world. That's why we say, actually, it's not a verse. We say God in the past reigned. God is king in present. God will be king in the future. These three tenses, so to speak, past, present, and future, which is, the Rebbe is repeating the same idea, it's the division of time. That division of time comes from Shem Elokim. Hashem himself, this name of four letters, doesn't have time. It's the same thing. He was, he is, and he will be. No time. Forget it. Yeah. When does time come as an important factor, etc.? Shem Elokim. That makes, so to speak, the time. He was king, he is king, and he will be king. Mikol Makom. However, who is the one that is going to be a king? Who was a king? He is a king. Havaye. So you see the combination of two things. On one hand, there's quote unquote one guy, one name. That is everything and has everything and is infinite. And that name gets defined through Shem Elokim. King. He was king, he is king, and will be king. Now he said it clearly. Everything comes from Shem Havaye through this name Elokim. What is it? How does it express in this world? Through the fact that this name of God gets projected and shines in every single world, in every single creature, to create it and to give it life. Even inside of us, it's there. Nothing could exist in the world without this name. Nothing. And This is actually vitality of every single creature. We feel we are alive. We don't know that this livelihood is actually God, but we do. We still feel we are alive. This vitality is actually the light of this name of God with four letters, that it gets projected through this other name, like the words or whatever, Elohim, the nature. Just as is in the example that we explained before so many times about giver and receiver. This light of intellect that gets received and gets actually sits, so to speak, in the receiver, like the receiver understands it, sits in his mind. Even though this light, this energy, this intellect comes after a contraction and a concealment of the essence of the light of the giver, we pass the page, we turn the page, and after this intellect gets invested in examples, etc., Even so, the light of the intellect of the giver, of the teacher, shines and gets seated down, so to speak, inside the brain of the student. He gets it. The same thing happens with the light and the chayus, the livelihood, something like that, in each creature. Shemeir bipnimiusoi. It shines in its innermost self, le'acha yoisoy, to give it life. Hua or de Shem Havayah. That's the light of Shem Havayah. Shenim shechali de Shem Elokim. That gets projected through this name called Elokim. Umeir mislabesh v'kol nivrachun. And it shines and it's invested in every single creature, etc. Ela, interestingly, if you see at the end of the page, there's a small note. This note is not from the original Rebbe, so to speak. Usually, the Rebbe Rashav, mainly, he wrote first the discourses and then he delivered them. Like, this is one, like, pretty long. Probably he was like 2-3 hours talking. So first of all, they wrote it down and then he delivered it just as is. Basically, the same thing we're reading. A few bunch of people, maybe 200, 300, were sitting at some point in 1897, listening to these words from the Rebbe. But he first wrote it. And when he wrote it, there's a parenthesis over here, but there's no end to the parenthesis. So there's a possibility over here. They say maybe the end should be in that part, in this particular point, but there's no end to this parenthesis. So he says like this, Ella. Rather, the only thing is, there's also a concealment over here. Like, as we mentioned before, you feel you're alive, but you don't feel this is God. Nobody feels this is God. You have to be a tzaddik, whatever, a righteous person, mazel tov. But most of the people don't feel this. So again, there's a concealment also. The truth is that this life we have inside comes from the Shem Havayah. Wow, powerful, but we don't feel it. But that's the concealment of this Shem Havayah. We'll see. Here's what the Gam Kim Hester. There's a concealment over here. This concealment is the fact that the creature doesn't feel that this life he has inside, it's a godly life. We don't feel it. Hester Amiti. But the truth is that there's no real concealment, as we mentioned before about the example. Because the truth is, it is a godly life. God is giving life to every single creature all the time. And a person could feel this. Parenthesis within the parenthesis. When you really think about it, you have to concentrate. It's not going to be easy, but you could feel it. Comes out that the concealment of this name Elohim is not a true concealment. On the contrary, it brings and reveals the light in a lower level. What does it mean, a lower level? In limited creatures. They they have no relationship at all with this light of this holy name, Yud Kei Vav Kei, etc. Yoir Ba'em, that it should shine on them. Forget it. Gam Kei Aravai Chulei Kanat. However, this name Elohim brings this light that it should shine inside of us also. In other words, let's assume that the note is correct, and let's finish over here the parentheses. And what did the Rebbe add in the parentheses? The Rebbe added something very interesting. We just said that Shem Havaye shines in the world through Shem Elohim. Very nice. And Shem Elohim reveals Shem Havaye because we see the creation. Yeah, but we don't feel that this is Shem Havaye. That's a concealment. And it's not a true concealment. Why? Because if you really think about it, you'll get that this is Shem Havaye. You could do that. You could get it. That's why it's not a true concealment. Maybe an example for this could be if a teacher is given a class and there are different types of students in the class, and this is actually something very common because when you give a class to many people, usually people are in different levels, not in the school. In the school, usually they're basically in the same group of levels, so to speak. Not all students are the same, but when you give a class to adults, sometimes people already learned what you're saying, so it becomes boring. So the teacher has to make the effort to give the class to those who didn't learn and to those who learned. So everybody gets something out of this. But the truth is that those who did not learn the material or whatever, they get certain concepts. And those who learn, they get much more. Say, ooh, this was a fantastic class. And the other one says, I don't know. Okay, interesting subjects. Why? Because the one who learned really sees, this is something new. Amazing, I never heard this. Even though I learned a lot, but I never heard this. So this is interesting. And the other one says, yeah, interesting stuff, but you know, okay, another class. Because I never heard anything, so whatever. Another rabbi talking. So what he's saying over here is, it's not a true concealment. That's what's going on. The teacher is talking, but the concealment is not true. And the proof for that is that somebody that has at least a little bit more knowledge gets under the lines, under the words of the teacher, he gets much more. But there's not a true concealment. If it would be a true concealment, forget it. Nobody would get it. Not even the one that knows. He wouldn't get it. Now, just as we explained before, in the example of the teacher and student, that also the student could reach the deepness and the innermost and most essential wisdom of the teacher. The student can reach that. And that's what the Talmud says, that after 40 years, a student really understands the teacher, etc. Same thing we can apply to that which we're trying to understand, which is God. The truth is, anybody could reach a revelation of the light of the innermost and most essential infinite light of Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei, Shem Havaye. Sheyoir Begilu Benafshe. That it should shine in your soul. Everybody can reach this. Now the Rebbe is going to start, so to speak, a new part of the Maimar. Until now, of the discourse, until now we spoke about, so to speak, structure. Yesh Mavai, Yesh Melekim, example, teacher, student, wisdom, deepness, blah, blah, blah. Okay, very nice. Now the Rebbe is going to say, can I feel this? What can I do with my life to see this, to get it, to live differently? How do you do that? I know. Al yedei avoidosei veigia. So the first thing he says is avoida. You have to work. Okay, but what's the work? What do I have to do? You're going to have to work. What's the work? Veigia. Really work. Effort. A lot of effort. Okay, what's the effort? Yes, nefesh, yes, basar. Two types of effort. First of all, you're going to have to make a big, big effort spiritually speaking, and also physically speaking. What does that mean? What do we have to do? Lehasira elemos esterim, you're going to have to remove the concealments. And he didn't define, he's going to be in 1 minute, he's making an introduction into something new. And you're going to have to remove the concealment. You're going to reach the revelation of the innermost and essence of the infinite light, which is really, really above from external creation, so to speak, light. That this external thing becomes a source for the worlds, forget it. You're going to reach really other insight, the infinite light. But you're going to have to go through a lot of effort, spiritually speaking and physically speaking. Okay, nice. How do you do this? I'll explain to you. Okay, I'll tell you. Sadically acting, first of all, you have to understand something different. And only at the end, he's going to say, you see, now you can get it. So, beer with me, beer with the Rebbe. Sadically acting, first of all, you have to understand something more, something different. Hila inyana inisioines. The idea of proofs. What does that mean, proofs in life? Difficulties, challenges. What are the challenges in life? What does that mean? Behu, I'll explain to you. The verse says that God is testing you. Testing you. And he doesn't bring the whole verse over here, but the verse finishes. God is testing you to see if you love him or not. Okay. Of course, he doesn't need tests. He knows everything. So we have to understand, why does God test us? What is this whole thing of tests and challenges in life? Shemachnis es ha'adam im yamed ben isayin. God is putting you in a situation, really challenging situation, to see whether you're going to pass the test or not. Why? Why are you making my life complicated? Don't bother me. We have to understand. What is the supernal intention in this test of life? Why? Don't come to me and say, because God wants to know. He knows already. He doesn't need to test me to know. So what's the point over here? And in another place, it's a very common thing in Hasidus, in another place, like, it's so big that you can't say everything. So in another place I explained the fact that the objective of the descent of the soul in the body, it's a terrible descent. Yirida gedoyla. Why? That ikoydim yirida sabaguf haisa imedes bo ilam ha'elyon. Beganen na tachton, beganen na eilin, ki yadua minyan me'ayim basachul. Before the descent of the soul into the body, the soul was standing in a very lofty world, in the lower paradise, in the higher paradise, whatever the case is, lofty worlds, as it's known that the Mishnah says, Me'ayim basa, you have to know from where you come. Where do you come from? Okay, I come from the very spiritual level, whatever the level is, doesn't matter. And over there, whatever level you were really grasping godliness. You got it. It's not that somebody had to talk to you about it. There's a God. Really? I didn't know. Okay. There's a God. No. You saw it over there. Ve'amda be'ava ve'ira. And the soul was over there in fear, love to God, loving God, fearing God. Ve'chinas bitul belakus, completely nullified to God, to godliness. U'kamashikosov. It's actually a verse. It's not even something like mystical. Chaya Hashem asher amati lefana. Ishaya says this, Elisha says this a couple of times. I swear by God that I was in front of him. Oh, really? He was in front of him. And it doesn't apply just to Elisha. Oh, a great prophet. No. Every single soul was in front of God. The Amida Lemaila, the fact that the prophet uses the word Amida, I was standing in front of him. And in parentheses, obvious question. There's no sitting, there's no standing in Gan Eden, there's nothing like that. It's just a spiritual thing. So what are you saying? I was standing in front of God. What are you talking about? Shubachinas bitul. Oh, I was completely nullified to God. Just like when a great, great sage comes into a room, everybody stands up. Why? Because you're showing I'm respecting you. I'm nothing, you're the boss over here. Everybody stands. Okay? That's how the soul was in front of God. So really, they got it. Suppose the teacher, I don't know, in some places they still do this, the teacher comes into the room, everybody stands, and there's a boy over there looking at the cell phone. So he didn't see that the teacher come in, and he didn't stand up. Why? Because he wasn't aware that the teacher was over there. So the same thing happens over here. If the soul was standing, quote-unquote, in front of God, it's because it was aware of God, definitely. Seeing God, coming into the room, quote-unquote, whatever. The Yarda, this soul that was really grasping God in front of him, Yarda beseisera madreiges beilamazi. He came down in secret levels into this world. Like, that means many, many, many levels of concealment of the godly presence. And now it's into a body. The soul is into a body. The soul got really far from the light of God. The soul doesn't grasp godliness anymore, the same way, at least, that it grasped it before, when it was above. Because the godly light, the way it shines in these lower worlds, it's really concealed. And it's just a reflection from a reflection from an external thing. So even if you're going to say that the soul grasps God, whatever you can grasp down here, it's nothing compared to what the soul can grasp up there, whatever that means. And even the godly light that the soul would be able to grasp down here, it's a godly light that comes in a level of hagshama. Hagshama means something that became material. I'll explain this in a second. Hainu, asaga mukshemes. That means not that the light is a physical thing, that the soul becomes a physical thing. What does that mean? Explanation. Not that the soul becomes a body. No. What he's saying is like this. There are different ways of understanding things. And according to the circle of ideas that the person moves on, is the way the person understands things. Like when somebody's talking in the public, there are, I don't know, lawyers and doctors and engineers. Everybody's listening to the same thing, but everybody understands what the teacher is saying through the lenses of their wisdom, so to speak. So the lawyer is looking for laws over here. Yeah, this guy said this and that, and therefore the law is da, 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 da. And the engineer is looking for the math behind this. And the doctor is saying, yeah, because he's emotional, and I don't know, whatever. Everybody grasps the same thing. They actually understand what the teacher is saying. That's fine. But they see things in different ways, according to their life, whatever. Same thing is going on with the soul. The soul, the way it was, in the neshama, the way it was up there, whatever that means, grasped God through the glasses, the lenses, whatever, of up there, quote unquote. Abstract things, godly things, soul things, all very nice. But now the soul is in the body and it grasps things through the body, the way the body understands. What does the body understand? Food. I like food. I want drink, alcohol. So the soul has to use these tools to understand the world, godliness of the world, but through the body. So the soul also gets like coarse. Even the soul gets like coarse. And the way it understands things is different. And it's nothing compared. It's not even close to the level of spirituality and the light of God that the soul grasped in the higher worlds. Forget it, it's completely different. And we're still talking about the soul. The body? Forget it. You say God and the body doesn't understand. How do I eat this? I know. That means there's a difference in two aspects. The light that shines in the spiritual worlds, it's more revealed. It's a revelation of a higher light. It's a higher light. That's point number one. It's a higher level of light. And second point, it doesn't become materialized. It's still a spiritual thing. So it's a higher level of light, and it's in a more spiritual way. Down here, it's a lower level of light, and it becomes materialized. So it's completely different. That's why the level of love and fear of God that the soul has down here is nothing compared, incomparable to the love and fear that the soul had when it was up there. Moreover, the soul came down to become concealed. Hesterponim means like concealment of the face. What does that mean? These are all the concealments and hidings that conceal and hide the light of God and His sanctity. That means, even if this guy, it's a special guy, it's a whatever, has a soul inside, very nice. But first of all, the light of God down here, it's not so high, not so lofty. Secondly, everything becomes megusham, becomes materialized. And third, there are so many problems over here. All kinds of problems. My children this, and my wife that, and then blah, blah, blah. And over there, up there, there were no problems. No wives, no children, no bills to pay, no money, no nothing. No hunger, no problem at all. So we see there are three basic problems over here that the soul has. Point number one, no light over here. I came from a place with a lot of light, no light over here. Second problem, even the light that is found over here, it's like very coarse. Third problem, this is full of problems. This place is full of problems. I don't like this place. Everything is a problem over here. I'm not accustomed to problems. Everything is fine over there, just perceiving God. Suddenly, I came into a world full of problems. The person, now body with the soul, needs a lot of effort to reach this godly light. All of this, it's a terrible descent. Why? So why again? The objective, why this soul comes down over here into this world, is the tests, the challenges that come to the person. These challenges are actually a concealment of God. Like, for instance, a parenthesis, even before translation. This fifth Rebbe, he was a sick person all his life. He wasn't a healthy person. So many problems, like all kinds of problems. I don't remember the exact age, but he passed away like 60-something, 68, something like that. Like, not so long. Not such a long life, so to speak. All the time traveling in Germany, traveling in Poland, looking for doctors, like, all kinds of problems. So, he's saying over here, now goes translation. For instance, what do you define problems? The way he defines it is very interesting. How do you define problems in life? Okay, for instance, istalkus chayus, the removal of livelihood, hashefa, of flux of life, bemenias abrius aguf. In a menia is a prevention of the health of the body. You're sick. He could have said just sick. You know what it means to be sick? means that the livelihood a person has get removed for some reason. I don't know why. It's not coming down. Or when he has mammon, or the person doesn't have money. He doesn't have money. I have to pay the bills. I don't know how to pay the bills. All these concealments, health, body, money, is a concealment of the light of godliness and his sanctity, his holiness. And all of this prevents the person from inside and from outside. Like, even the person himself starts thinking, why am I here? What does God want from me? What's my mission in life? All kinds of internal problems, self-esteem, whatever. Internal problems or external problems. I don't have money to pay the bills. What do you want from me? I don't have a job. All of these becomes really an impediment from inside and from outside to a person that comes to get close to God. In his service to God, praying and learning, it's a problem, you know? The guy wants to be in yeshiva sitting the whole day, and he's sick. He can't. The guy wants to, I don't know, learn the whole day, pray the whole day, and he doesn't have money to pay the bills. Forget it. Close the book and go work. No other choice. And the fact that a person should stand, just pass the challenge, stand on the pass the proof against anything that it prevents him and doesn't let him do the avoida, the work. That's the reason why the soul came down. You should stand these proofs and go through these challenges. Through these challenges, you come to a higher light, to the revelation of a higher light. We have to understand, apparently, how does it come that through these challenges in life, you come to a higher light? Why? Can't you just give me the higher light and that's it? Like, I see it, I learn, and I get the higher light. Why do I need to go to a challenge? Like, the neshama, again, the soul was up there, grasping God, happy with God, very nice. You want to get more? Go down. What do you mean go down? Yeah, you will see what I mean. Go down and have challenges. Can't you just give me the same thing over here? No. Of course, God can do anything he wants, but I mean, no, you're going to have to go down. And it's going to be very difficult. But you will see, you will get more than what you get over here. In order to understand this, why do you need challenges to really reach a higher level? What's a test? What's a challenge? What does that mean? It's a concealment, hiding, something like that, that conceals and hides the truth. What do you mean? If you would know the truth as it is, this wouldn't be a challenge at all. Ki im kol inyan hanisayon hu mipnei shemailim umastira lo emes, the whole thing of a challenge is, of a proof is, that it conceals the truth, v'al yedei ze she'oymel b'nisayon, and through the fact, he's going to explain later quite a lot, through the fact that a person passes the challenge, aliyu ba le'amites adav, he reaches the truth of the thing. That's what a challenge means. And without the challenge, you don't know the truth. That's the problem. That's why you need the challenge to reach the truth. Okay, explain. For instance, the challenge, the test that Avram had in this place called Ur Kasdim. The Midrash brings this whole story. The Torah alludes to it. They threw Nimrod, whatever, that was the name of the king, he threw Avram in a fiery furnace. Avram did not know he would not get burned. Like, you are thrown in a fiery furnace, bye-bye, you get burned. That's it. if Abraham would have known that he would not get burned, he wouldn't be a test. There's no test over here. Im hu lo yada mizeh, Abraham did not know he would not get burned. Rak choshav shevada yisarev. He thought, certainly I will get burned. That's it. Kemo yal piteva sheish tzarif. Like the nature is that the fire burns. Omnam, however, yadu adateva vigimatre likim. We know already that the word hateva, the nature, when you add up the letters of the word ateva, comes out the number 86. That's the same number that when you add the word, the letters of the word Elohim, the name of God, it's the same thing. Elohim is ateva. Ve'ainu. That means shekol atvois shebaolam, all the natures of the world, zeu rak mehalevushim v'ha'istedim l'shem Elohim. These, they come just, what's nature? Nature is a concealment, the garments and concealments of the name Elohim. That's what nature means, the definition of nature. Through this concealment, these garments, you get a lot of divisions and limitations. The fire, what do I mean, different levels and different things and limitations? The fire burns and the water, actually, I don't know, the opposite thing of burning, consumes the fire, I don't know. The fire by nature is hot, and the water by nature is cold. All of this is just a concealment of godliness. But from the perspective of the other name of God, the four-letter name that is infinite, that's the level of infinity, the mind ve'esh klal. There's no limitation, there's no division between fire and water and fire at all. And it could be that the water will not consume, and the fire will not burn. And like the story in the Talmud, in Tainis, there's a story by Rabbi Hanina ben Doisa. It was a great, great, interesting story, rabbi. Full of stories. One time, the daughter of Rabbi Hanina lit the fire, the Shabbos candles, and Rabbi Hanina went to shul, to synagogue. He came back after the prayers, and she was crying. The daughter was crying. And the rabbi asked, why are you crying? What's the problem? And she said, I got confused. And instead of putting oil to the Shabbos candles, I put vinegar. And they're not going to last a lot. Vinegar doesn't burn. So the rabbi said, the one who said that the shemen, the oil, should burn, will tell the vinegar to burn also. And they burned the whole Shabbos. Like a miracle rabbi. Very interesting rabbi. Very interesting. Rabbi Hanina ben Doisa. Actually, Talmud says that God said the whole world exists only for Hanina Bni, for my son Hanina. Like, he was the foundation of the whole world. Very interesting guy. Okay, the point is that from the perspective of Avaye, of this name of God, there's no nature, there's no limitations at all. Fire and water are actually the same thing. Like water and fire, that they do not consume one each other. K'may marazal, as our sages say, hamshelo fachad imoy oise shalom b'meroim, that there's a ruling and there's a fear with him, with God, and God makes peace in his heavens. What does that mean? They're fighting? No. The Michael, there's an angel called Michael, Sar Shalmaim, he's the minister of water, kindness, whatever. Gabriel, Sar Shel Eish. Gabriel is another name. He's the minister, the angel of fire, severity. And up there, they don't burn each other. They don't consume each other. Ulepamim, Aish Tzedef is a mime. Kemo Beliau. But sometimes, we have all other stories. The fire actually consumes the water. Like in the story of Eliyahu. there's a whole long story over there, but the point is that came a fire from above and consumed all the water that was around the cow that he offered, whatever. It's a whole story. But we see that the fire consumes the water. So wait a second. Fire consumes water or not? So we see sometimes yeah, sometimes not. Kol zeu lemaila min hateva. Why is that? Because the truth is that God is beyond nature. God is not limited to the nature he himself creates. All of that comes from the infinite light that is actually infinite. There's no limitation of nature at all over there. To have any kind of limitations, etc.